Hello, everyone, and welcome to our live closing ceremony for Ready for the Right Guy. I'm Leanne Webster, and I'm helping Michelle out tonight. If you could just do us a quick favor and put a note in the Q&A box if you can hear us. Just say, I can hear you, or something similar, so we know that you're out there and you're picking up what we're putting out there. All right. Michelle Marchant-Johnson is a professional relationship coach, author, and speaker. In her business, lovelifecoaching.com, she works with women around the world who want to enjoy a loving, passionate, committed relationship with an extraordinary man. She works with a very select number of private and group coaching clients as their virtual wing woman to help identify what may be blocking love, to walk through potential landmines of dating, and to provide support on the journey to the relationship of your dreams. DatingAdvice.com has named Michelle as one of the top 10 midlife relationship experts for her popular advice. After decades of career success, but frustration, heartache, and disappointment in her love life, Michelle got support and uncovered her own inner blocks to love and discovered the secrets that allowed her to meet her Mr. Right. She became an ecstatic first-time bride at the age of 43 and has been married to the man of her dreams for over 10 years. As a breast cancer survivor, she believes life is precious and is meant to be lived with purpose, love, and joy. She is thrilled to see her amazing clients meet, attract, and find love with the right guy and to enjoy happy, loving, passionate relationships. If you're a woman who wants to meet and attract the right man, improve your confidence with men, or increase your feminine presence, then you'll love what Michelle has to share with you. With her proprietary GI system, she helps you attract your man with grace, ease, and elegance. I give to you, Michelle.
Thank you, Leanne, and thank you, everyone. I'm so excited about being here with you tonight. It's been my honor and privilege to have you with me over the last couple of weeks for the Ready for the Right Guy event. And I've been working really hard to prepare something really valuable for you tonight called Dead End Dating Detours. Don't get lost on your way to love. And I'm really excited about this topic, and I really hope that it will be of great value to you. And I want to thank you for your presence throughout the event. I've felt your energy, your support, and I've heard from so many of you about some of the speakers that have given you such valuable ideas or tips or wisdom. And I also want to thank you for being here, because the fact that you are here speaks to how exceptional you are, because you're here to take a stand for what you want in your life and especially in love. Now, the reason I have chosen this topic, Don't Get Lost on Your Way to Love, through the Dead End Dating Detours, is because I believe that one of the keys to finding the most amazing relationship is knowing some of the things that can take you off course. And I'm going to share with you from my own experience. I'm going to speak to you woman to woman in a very real and direct way, and I'm also going to share with you some of the most common dead end dating detours that I see as I speak to women all over the world. To shorten this up, we're just going to call these things by their acronym from here on out, DEDD, so they're DEADS. We're just going to call the dead-end dating detours DEADS. So just a little bit about what we're going to be covering tonight before we get started, and we will be off and running with our juicy content. So I'm going to be sharing with you 7 common ways that women get lost on their way to love. Now, we're not going to be able to cover these fully as I'd like to. Each one of them could be a class in and of themselves. And this does not include all of the dead-end dating detours, otherwise known as DEADS, because that would be, again, hours and hours and hours of presentation. But these are 7 of the most common ones that I see. And I'm hoping that by sharing these with you, it can help you avoid some of them on your own path to love. We're also going to be doing tonight, after that presentation, a quick overview of the Gold and Platinum VIP packages. I've had several of you emailing me asking me still a few questions about them, so we will be going over them just briefly. And I do want to share with you that you can also scroll down on the page if you're listening on the web, and you can take a look at both the Gold and the Platinum package. They're both available at the event special right now, only for a few more hours. And I do want to mention that with the Platinum package, we will be doing a drawing tonight for one person that buys the Platinum package for a $250 gift card. So if you're considering that package, along with all of the other goodies that are included there, this will be your last chance to be entered in the drawing. And my husband actually will be using a random number generator on his computer to select the winner, but we'll be announcing that at the end of tonight's call. And I'm also going to be taking a few questions and answers after I do the Dead End Dating Detours presentation. So if you are listening online, there is a box underneath the screen that you're listening or watching the slides from, and you can enter your questions there. And I would encourage you to keep them brief and concise, because you're more likely to get your question answered if that's the case. So we'll take some questions and answers toward the end. Leanne is going to be fielding your questions for me, and we'll do that. And we're going to go about 90 minutes tonight. So we'll be doing the drawing for the $250 gift card right toward the end, about 5 minutes before we wrap up. So with that, let's go ahead and get started with our main presentation. So the reason I chose this topic and the reason I believe it's so important is I believe that you matter, your time matters, your life matters, and who you spend your life with matters. Your life energy is a limited and precious commodity. And the problem with these detours that we'll be talking about is they can rob you of months or even years that you could be spending with the right man for you, someone who loves you, cherishes you, adores you, and whom you feel love, admire, respect, and trust with, someone that you feel great being with. Now, Leanne shared with you a little bit about me, and she shared a very nice professional, glossy bio about my professional life and about how I met and married my right man. So I was fortunate, after a very long and journey to love, to meet and marry an amazing man. We've now been married for over 10 years. He stood by me through a very difficult and challenging breast cancer journey and is truly the love of my life, and he's such a gift and blessing. But I want to tell you that what's not always talked about so much is what came before that. And I want to share with you a little bit about my journey and some of the dead-end detours that I experienced to illustrate also some of the common dead-end detours that I see happening to other women. And I'm actually going to share with you a glimpse into what I might call the abyss or the low point of my love life, because I think that it is an interesting case study as to how I got lost on my journey to love and some of the dead-end detours that I took on my journey to love. And my journey is not so different from so many other women out there. So many other women have also gone down some of these dead-end dating detours, and you may have experienced or may even be experiencing some of these yourself. So I call this period of time in my life the abyss because my heart, my hopes, my dreams had all been shattered. And I just want to start with just a little story. It was a very rainy night about midnight, and I had to leave in about 4 hours at 4 a.m. to catch an early morning flight to New York City for a business trip. The man I had been in love with for several years had just broken up with me over the phone, telling me that he loved me, but that he was not in love with me. My heart was truly broken because I had put everything into this relationship for several years. and it hurt so badly. My heart was in pain, and I was in physical pain throughout my body. I was crying so hard that I couldn't breathe, and I could barely see. And then I walked down the stairs in my house into my kitchen to discover that my kitchen sink, the faucet underneath my kitchen sink, had sprung a leak, and water was going all over the floor. And I didn't know whether more water was coming from the sink or my eyes. And I got out the wrench and tried to do a little do-it-yourself plumbing underneath the sink while lying there on the floor on my back, crying. I couldn't get the leak to stop. And I knew I couldn't leave my house while I went on this business trip, so I began calling plumbers to see if I could find someone who would come in the middle of the night. I finally found one. He came in the middle of the night, fixed the sink. I got no sleep, left for the airport at 4 a.m., and on the 4-plus-hour flight to New York City, I was in a middle seat and cried the entire time. These people must have thought I was just completely crazy. But my heart was broken, and I really, really thought that I would never, ever love again. Now, I'm using my own story because I believe that it can illustrate, as I said, some of the common dead-end relationship detours that happen. I found myself wondering at that point, how did I get here? How did I invest this much of my life into a relationship and come up empty-handed? And as I've shared with you in my work with women all over the world, I hear their stories of what's happened to them in their dating lives, and there are some common threads. So my hope is that as we talk about these, this will help you to avoid some of these dead-end dating detours in your own life. So in addition to having this man break up with me, another thing that happened to me shortly thereafter was that I went to a party a few weeks later after crying my eyes out for days and days and days over this man. And I met this tall, dark stranger at a party. And I got involved in what we might call a rebound relationship, in part in an attempt to dull my pain from the relationship that had just ended. Now, this new man was the true definition of a bad boy. This was someone like I had never dated before, and I would have never dated under normal circumstances. He truly wreaked havoc and destruction in my life, and that relationship ended with a restraining order and me actually being in fear for my safety. So it was one hot, ugly mess. And to say that my confidence level in myself and my judgment was at an all-time low is an understatement. I wasn't even sure I ever wanted to even try again in the game of love. My heart, my hopes, my dreams of being loved had all gone up in flames, and I really felt like I was lying there in the smoke, dust, and ashes of my life, wondering what in the world had gone wrong. So I want to go back and retrace a few steps as to how I think I ended up in this situation and how other women might too by talking about these dead-end dating detours or the deads. So the first one that was definitely in place for me was false or limiting beliefs. So many of you that have heard me speak before have heard me talk about what we call the three F words that can really, let's just say, foul up your love life: the fears, the fantasies, and the falsehoods. And often these are conscious or unconscious false or limiting beliefs. For example, in my own case, I felt on some level unworthy to be loved by the kind of man I most wanted. Some other common examples might include believing I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm not enough of this, I'm not enough that, men are intimidated by me, all the good ones are taken, there's a shortage of high-quality men, the kind of man I want won't want me. The list is really endless. And sometimes we're aware of these beliefs and sometimes we're not. But these false or limiting beliefs can lead to a dead end in your love life because you may be completely blinded to the possibilities that are actually there for you. You may not ever even put yourself in a position to see or be seen by a high-quality man because the beliefs are so strong. Or if you do, you may unknowingly self-sabotage opportunities with a high-quality man. And thus, you can actually become, without meaning to, a self-fulfilling prophecy. And your beliefs create a reality in your life that you might not actually want. Stephen Richards said, reality is a projection of your thoughts or the things you habitually think about. So that's one dead to be aware of, is false or limiting beliefs. The second dead that was in place for me was believing in a fantasy. And this has a variety of forms, but it's often defined by believing that someone will change or a situation will change, even though there have been strong indications to the contrary. Maya Angelou says, when someone tells you who they are, believe them the first time. So looking back on my situation, the man I'd been in love with for several years had shown evidence that he wasn't really able to fully be there for me in the way I wanted him to be, even though we were very close and even though he was a very, very nice man. On some level, I thought he would realize how much he loved me, decide he wanted more with me, but the truth was he was really happy with the status quo, and I wanted more, and eventually that became very painful for me. And I loved him, and I gave him my best, and I thought I'd become someone that he wanted to spend his life with, but it simply didn't work. And it's easy for us to believe in all kinds of fantasies, and often when I talk to women about relationships that didn't go well, I'll ask them the question if in the early stages, if there were signs or if there were indications or if he said something or if his behavioral pattern said something that was indicative that he might not be ready for that kind of relationship. And in almost every case, they say yes. But we don't always pay attention to those things, or we don't always believe them. Greg Barron said, when it comes to men, deal with them as they are, not how you'd like them to be. So that's our second dead, believing in a fantasy. The third one is also a very common one, and I did this one too. It's called overgiving and getting less. And the way I define this is giving too much, too fast, too soon, or really your giving is out of balance for what you're receiving in the relationship. Now, every healthy relationship has a balance between giving and receiving. But unfortunately, as women, oftentimes we're tempted to show our love and to show our caring and to show our affection by giving too much too fast too soon. And many of you that have heard me talk about this before know that I've coined this, I've given this phenomenon a name, and I call it unholy giving. And the reason I call it that is because I believe that our giving nature as women is very beautiful, but it becomes unholy because if we're giving too much too fast too soon, it's typically not appreciated fully by the recipient, in this case the man, and it depletes the woman of her natural energy, grace, enthusiasm, and balance. And she oftentimes feels depleted, used, discouraged, frustrated, and wondering what in the world went wrong. Now, also, this phenomenon can also show up as rescuing, trying to rescue a man, trying to help a man, almost being like in a mothering kind of mode with a man. And typically, although we are coming from a very loving place, this has the opposite effect than intended. It doesn't typically draw a man closer to us, but oftentimes it turns him off, it makes him resent us, or it just decreases his enthusiasm and motivation in a relationship. So you have to be aware of this if this is a temptation for you, and keep this in balance. And remember, better than nothing is not good enough for you. also remember, no matter how much you give, no matter how much of your time, attention, focus, affection, love you give to a man, no matter how great of a woman you are, you'll never be good enough for a man who's not ready. That's a quote from one of our speakers from the event, Evan Mark Katz. Our next dead is a big one. This one shows up a lot, and that's an overemphasis on chemistry. So we have to remember that chemistry does not always equal compatibility, and it can actually be an imposter of love, but on its own, it's not love. So I once wrote an article for Dating Advice called The Woes and Wonders of the Whirlwind Romance, and I talked a lot about chemistry and that physical attraction that can be so exciting, fun, and almost irresistible. And I believe that chemistry is important. It's just that we have to keep our balance about it. We have to keep our wits about us if we're really attracted to someone. I always say that it's important to balance the three H words, your head, your heart, and your hormones. And what happens if the physical side of things moves too quickly and gets ahead of the emotional side of things, it can really short-circuit everything, particularly for men. As women, we tend to bond to men when we get physically involved with them. Men don't bond in the same way, and unless there's that time and space for them to develop a emotional connection, in addition to that physical connection, it can really short-circuit everything. Besides that, if you're here, you're probably a woman who wants to have a lasting, loving, committed relationship with an exceptional man. And it takes time to get to know the heart and character qualities of a man and to really assess whether there is deep compatibility, to really assess if this is someone that you would really want to share your life with, someone that you respect. And I use that word respect very intentionally because I believe, from my own experience and from working with a lot of other women, that most women need to respect a man in order to really fall in love with him and especially to stay in love with a man. Many women that fall in love with a man in part fall in love with him because they respect who he is. And many women that fall out of love with a man, that happens because she no longer respects who he is or didn't know him well enough to know that she wouldn't respect him once she knew who he really was. So chemistry is delicious, exciting, and even important. We just have to keep it in balance. And in the case of the tall, dark stranger that I told you about that I met after the initial breakup, the bad boy that I got involved with, we also have to remember, so what if we have chemistry? Chemistry doesn't miraculously turn bad boys into good ones. But the problem is it can be so intoxicating and so exciting and so irresistible that we sometimes don't pay close enough attention to who this person really is on a deep core level. So the next D that I would like to talk about, did, is focusing on the past instead of the future. And this is another common detour that we can take on our paths to love. Focusing on the past does not allow us to be in the present, and it doesn't allow us to create the future that we want. Now, I have to say that if you're on this recording, on this call, you're probably into life a little ways. You probably have had some experience, both positive and negative, in your love lives. Most of us don't make it this far into life without having a few nicks, bumps, and dents along the way. So what happens is we get hurt, and we want to naturally protect ourselves from being hurt again. We don't want to have pain. Perhaps we feel like we've touched a hot stove. We don't want to do that again. So we build defenses around ourselves, both consciously and in many cases unconsciously. And we form or reinforce false beliefs sometimes based on these difficult or painful experiences that we have. Or perhaps we might romanticize about a relationship somewhere in our past. We can remember all of the good things about it, and perhaps we even did have a really good relationship in our past. But if we're not able to clear our past from past hurts and pains and appreciate the good from our past for what it was, and we stay stuck there, then it doesn't allow us to be present now and to create the future we want. And it can hold us back from being able to see or see someone really great, or to receive love and to be ready for the right guy in the present or the future. There's a lot of ways that our past can affect us. And if there is deep healing and deep therapy and deep work that needs to be done, then that's a journey, and that's an important part of the journey to take. But I also think it's really important to remember that we don't have to be perfect in order to be ready and worthy for love. Yes, we want to work on those things that are holding us back, but if we had to be perfect in order to find love, none of us would ever find it. The key is to learn what we can from our experiences, have compassion for ourselves and others, release ourselves from that idea of perfection, and forgive ourselves and others from real or perceived mistakes. Because this gives us freedom. It gives us the freedom to love or to love again. We also sometimes have to really, really put the past in the past, because one of the things that can happen here is it can be really tempting to hang on to the Mr. Right Nows, or kind of the okay relationships but not the dream relationships. And oftentimes we think we can keep one foot into a relationship and still kind of be keeping our eye open for something better, but that doesn't really tend to work very well. So there's a quote here that says, it's always important to know when something has reached its end, closing circles, shutting doors, finishing chapters. It doesn't matter what we call it. What matters is to leave in the past those moments in life that are over. Now, I know sometimes it can be really difficult, too, when we feel like we haven't had closure, and we feel like we wish we could have more of a resolution or a reason or an explanation as to why something ended. The truth is, in most cases, there actually is closure. It's just that the closure didn't come in the way that would have made it easier for us to deal with it. In other words, if a man just disappears from your life with no explanation, without giving any reason, that may be very painful and hard to understand, but there is closure. It's just not the kind of closure that we hoped for or that might have made it easier for us to deal with. And we don't always get happy endings, and we don't even always get clean, neat, nice endings to relationships. But in truth, any kind of ending is best if it allows us the freedom to move forward. Orson Scott Card said, the opposite of the happy ending is not actually the sad ending. The sad ending is sometimes the happy ending. The opposite of the happy ending is actually the unsatisfying ending. And I know that if you've had those unsatisfying endings in your life, that can be very difficult to move forward from. But I invite yourself to free yourself from the past so that you can have the freedom to be available to give and receive love in the present and in the future. So the next dead is staying in the struggle. So there's a lot of different ways to define this. Some examples might be staying in a relationship because you've already invested so much into it. That was part of what I did, why I invested years and years into a relationship. Thinking things will get better if we continue to stay in the relationship. sometimes we're afraid of the unknown, so we stay in something longer than maybe is good for us to stay in. Or we might believe on some level that having someone in our life or some kind of relationship is better than nothing. Or we believe that if we stay in there and keep fighting that fight, he'll start to love, appreciate, want us, respect us more. That was, again, part of my journey. And in some cases, we even lose our confidence and our value on ourselves to the point that we'll actually even allow abuse to take place in our lives. And any of these things can really deplete us and rob us of our natural feminine joy and energy, as well as our confidence and our belief. So if you're in a situation that feels like you're the one that's doing all the heavy lifting the majority of the time, this could be a sign that this is not a relationship that is going to provide you with the long-term happiness that you seek. And truthfully, it's incredibly, incredibly exhausting. And sometimes when we stay in these relationships too long, we also lose sight that there might even be any other possibility. I've seen that happen in my own life and with other women. Now, number seven is a really big one and also a really common one. And it ties into some of the others that we've already talked about. So as I've shared with you, in the work that I'm now privileged to do, helping amazing women around the world meet and attract their Mr. Right, I, of course, hear a lot of stories of relationships that ended badly. And sometimes these stories are heart-wrenching accounts of relationships that didn't go well or didn't end well. And I'll often ask these women, recognizing that hindsight is 20/20, if now, looking back on that relationship, if they could see any warning signs or red flags early on in the relationship. And in almost every case, they say yes. So, for example, with the bad boy that I got involved with after my very painful breakup, there were big, big warning signs right from the start. Once when I asked this question to a woman, she gave me a very humorous answer. You may have heard me say this before, but she said, yeah, there were actually more red flags than in the Chinese Communist parade, which I thought was a very funny answer. And yet, sometimes those signs are more subtle, because we're not always dealing with a bad boy, so to speak. A lot of these are good men that are just not ready to be in the same kind of relationship that you might want or that you might desire. And yet, oftentimes men will say things, or their behavior or their patterns will tell us things that really give us clear indications of where they're at. But we sometimes choose to ignore those or minimize those, or doubt ourselves and doubt our own judgment and doubt our own feelings about this. But you are a woman, and I believe that as a woman, you actually have a gift, what I believe is a divine gift, whether we call it women's intuition, that gut feeling, that gnawing or nagging uncertainty or doubt. And I want to encourage you, if that's showing up in a relationship, in a dating relationship, that you pay attention to your own inner guide. Because seldom, if ever, will that inner guide lead you astray. What happens more frequently is if you ignore or suppress those thoughts or feelings, then we tend to find ourselves in situations that we never wanted to be in the first place. So sometimes the red flags, just to reiterate, are those bright red flags waving in the wind. But other times it's more subtle. And this is where it becomes really important for you to tune in to what is really going on in your mind, in your body, in your heart, and pay attention to those signals. And if something feels a little bit off to you, just to notice it and pay attention to it and not dismiss it. because the way we come to know who someone is through a pattern of their behavior. And what I mean by that is anyone can have a moment when they're a little off. Now, I'm not talking about extreme cases of verbal or physical abuse, but anyone can have a bad moment or a bad day. But over a period of time, a man is going to really show you who he is on a deep level. And so we want to pay attention to those patterns and those behaviors. And you also want to pay attention to how you feel when you're in the presence of a man. And if there are those questions in your mind or some nagging doubts or concerns, it's something just to pay attention to notice, and make sure you have the answers to those questions before you become completely involved and completely give your heart to a certain man. Amanda Mosher said, if you ignore the red flags, embrace the heartache to come. Now, this is easier said than done, especially once you become emotionally involved with a man. And for any of these dead-end dating detours, it can be hard to unravel yourself from a relationship once you're in it, because we become emotionally involved with someone and we're invested in wanting to have the relationship work out. But I can tell you, once you really have clarity that this is not going to be the relationship that is going to bring you happiness, joy, and satisfaction in your life, then the sooner you acknowledge that, the better, because the truth really does set us free. The quickest way to rectify that mistake of choosing the wrong person is by learning from that, moving on, and choosing much more wisely in the future. So those are our 7 common dead-end dating detours. And I would love it if, for those of you that are listening on the webcast, if you can relate to any of those or if you've experienced any of those, I would love for you to type into the question box which of those you might experienced, and just because I'm curious to take a little poll here about which might be the most common for our audience tonight. So let me know which ones most stood out for you. Now, my intention, of course, in talking about these is not for you to be sitting here thinking, oh, boy, I've taken a tour through this one or that one, or I've taken a tour through all of them, as I did as a single woman. My intention here is to empower you, because as we see some of the dead-end dating patterns that might trap us or get us lost on our way to love, we can have a deeper awareness so that hopefully we can be wiser in our choices moving forward. And I also want you to recognize that finding love, being loved and loving someone and being a part of a meaningful relationship is one of our deepest human needs. So it's really important to look at yourself from a place of compassion and recognize that even if you've taken a tour through all of these, as I have, that you deserve your own compassion because you were doing the very best that you could at the time. I really believe that. And it's only through our experiences that we learn and grow. And hopefully we do learn and grow through our experiences so that we don't have to keep revisiting the same detours again and again. But this is a time, if you have experienced any of these, to observe them and to be aware so that you can make wiser choices, but to also look at yourself from a place of compassion and forgive yourself from any real or perceived mistakes that you feel like you may have made in your love life up to this point. So, how do you avoid the dead ends? I think there's a few keys here, and I'm just going to touch on those before we go on with the presentation. So, first of all, I think, as I've said before, it is important to look back at what may have tripped you up in the past, and then to learn from the past And again, recognize you were doing the best you knew at the time. And then a real big key to this is loving yourself enough to get whatever support you need to approach your love life with clarity, confidence, and the commitment to being self-honoring in your choices in your love life. I can't tell you how strongly I feel about that, because if you are placing an incredibly high value on yourself and recognizing that you are a woman of high value, then you're much less likely to get caught in these dead-end detours that I've been talking about tonight. You're much more likely to have very high standards for what will be acceptable to you and very high standards for what you believe that you deserve and what you're willing to accept in a partner and in a relationship. And that in and of itself can be huge in helping you avoid the dead ends. Now, again, no matter what has happened to you, whether you've had your heart broken, whether you've had your dreams dashed, whether you're in a place where you just feel like I did, where I felt like I was lying there wondering what in the world had happened to me, I want to remind you that you can reclaim yourself and what you want for your life in this moment. And my whole intention from this whole series is to empower you by introducing you to all different kinds of experts, starting with the Manathon, and all different kinds of wisdom to help support you and empower you. And I want to read this quote to you that is by Shannon Alder that says, "Your dignity can be mocked, abused, compromised, toyed with, lowered, and even bad-mouthed, but it can never be taken from you. You have the power today to reset your boundaries, restore your image, start fresh with renewed values, and rebuild what has happened to you in the past." And I want you to feel that. I want you to claim that for yourself. And as you can tell, this is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, because I did have my own very long and winding journey to love that at times was incredibly painful. Now, the good thing that came out of it is that I learned many, many lessons that are really important, and now I can help many women to avoid some of the same dead-end detours that I fell into. And I understand on a very real level what that can be like when you're trying to find your way through what feels like a maze. And so I have, in my work, I have developed a system that I call the G system. And G is G-E-E, standing for grace, ease, and elegance. And I believe that it honors the natural energy, strength, and softness of the feminine woman, so you can invite, inspire, ignite love and passion with your Mr. Right. And the reason I'm mentioning this is that for those of you that are purchasing or have purchased the Platinum Package, I am going to be teaching in detail the G system in my Meet Him and Keep Him program, which is part of the Platinum Package. That course alone is a $300 value, and I will be teaching it live starting in mid-February, and my intention is to go much deeper into how you can meet and attract your Mr. Right from a place of grace, ease, and elegance. So if you feel like you've tried really hard and feel like you beat your head against the wall like I have, then I invite you to at least consider the Platinum Package. That's just one of the inclusions, but that's why I'm mentioning it here now. In either case, whether you decide to join me for that or not, I want to invite you to own your own power and to get support if you feel like you need it, so that you can avoid the dead-end detours and you can approach your love life from a place of clarity, confidence, and commitment to yourself to be self-honoring and to show up in your interactions with men knowing that you are a woman of an incredibly high value. So in just a few minutes, I'm going to start taking some questions and answers. I had a lot of requests for that, and I had actually a lot of people emailing me questions during the actual Ready for the Right Guy event, and so I really wanted to carve out some time for that. And so if you haven't had a chance to submit your questions and you would still like to, please feel free to enter that in the question box now. If you're listening by phone, I'm also monitoring my email, and you can actually email me a question, and we'll take as many as we can. Again, keep them concise and clear, because we can get through more questions that way. And before we go into the Q&A, as I mentioned, I just want to quickly review both the Gold and the Platinum VIP packages. Again, if you're listening online, you can scroll down on the page and you can see the inclusions of both packages and can even order directly from this page. And then if you're listening by telephone, then you can just go to readyfortherightguide.com/VIP. And I'll just take a couple of minutes on this and then we'll go right into the Q&A. So thank you again to those of you that have already upgraded. I'm thrilled for you because I believe these are going to help support you on your journey to love. With both packages, you get the entire Ready for the Right Guy event recording, starting with the marathon and including tonight's event, and plus all 30-plus expert interviews. You also get the event learning guide to help you get the most from each of the interviews, and the top 10 best expert interviews from last year. These were the listener favorites from the 2016 event. You have unlimited access to the downloads with both packages. So those are the inclusions with the Gold package. And then with the Platinum package, you also get everything that I just mentioned. Plus, in August, I did an event called the Man Panel, where I interviewed over top 20 male experts who gave you insider glimpses into the hearts and minds of men. Amazing interviews. You'll get the audio and video downloads from that event, as well as the masterclass that I just told you about, my Meet Him and Keep Him 5-part virtual masterclass. I will be teaching it live. You can join me live, and I'll be providing you also with the recordings of each of the classes. But that will be a really fun way for some of us to go deeper together, and I look forward to connecting with you. And then for those of you that order the VIP Platinum package before we do the drawing at the end of our call tonight, and all of you that have already ordered, you'll be entered in a drawing for a $250 Visa card. We're going to be giving that away tonight, and we'll be announcing that before we wrap up tonight. So if that is of interest to you, jump on in so that you can be included in the drawing, and my husband will be using a random number picker on his computer to select the winner. So we'll be watching for the orders that are coming in now, till the end of our call tonight, and we'll announce the winner. Again, for those of you that join me for the Platinum program, you will get to be in my brand new class, which begins in February. Okay, so with that, we'll go ahead. Leanne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I am. Do you have some questions for me?
Yes, we've got a number of questions. Everybody's very active tonight. I love it.
Oh, good. That's fabulous. I'm glad to hear that. I can't wait.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead ends out there.
There's a lot of dead ends. So tell me what are some of our most common dead ends?
The most common. Let me scroll down here for the one was Oh, now I moved my things around. I wasn't ready for that. There we go.
That's okay. We'll come back to that. You can go ahead and tell me the questions, because I know this is a scrolling feed.
That's right. Let's see. All right. So first one is from Angela, and it looks like her city is Godalming. I don't know where that is, but it sounds fun. She says, how can I know if my partner is the right man to have children with?
Wow, that's a big question, huh?
Yeah.
So it sounds like Angela is in a committed relationship, perhaps. I guess I'm making a bit of an assumption, but she's calling him her partner, so I guess we can make that assumption. I really feel like there's a lot of pieces to that, and that could be a whole conversation, but let me just give you a few ideas that come to mind off the top of my head. First of all, I think it's really, really important that the two of you are on the same page as far as what you want in terms of the relationship and in terms of having children. It's important to have that conversation. And I just might add, for those of you that are not in a relationship, I also think it's really important for you to have this conversation even in a dating relationship. Now, I'm not saying on the first date you say, so, do you want to marry me and have children? No, it's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if you want to be in a committed relationship or having children is something that's important to you, it's important that sometime early on when you're really getting to know someone that you share a little bit about what your vision is for your life and what you want in a relationship so that you can give that person a snapshot into your big hopes and dreams and they have a chance to respond and you can see if you're in alignment. In the case where you're already in a relationship, I do think that when you're bringing children into a relationship, it's always best if a relationship is stable and strong, loving, and if you're both committed to going the distance in raising a child, because it's one thing to have a child, it's another thing to raise a child, and if you're both committed to being there for each other and being there for that child, because having a child definitely can change a relationship in a lot of different ways. So having the conversation, making sure you both want the same thing, discussing what it really means for your relationship in the future and the stability of your relationship, those are a few things that come to mind. All right, let's another one, Leanne.
Okay.
I'm going to try to move quickly so we can get to a lot of questions. Yeah.
Got it. Mimi from San Diego wants to know, what are the current norms for having sex with the new man in your life?
What are the current norms? Well, you know, I think the norms are as different as there are people out there. I'm not sure there is a current norm. I think there's a lot of different people that will tell you a lot of different things. And I think some of our experts in the series talked about this question. I know that John Gray talked about it, and he said that you wait to have sex until you feel ready and you feel comfortable. Now, as I talked about when I talked about the chemistry trap, I really do think this is an important thing. Whatever your moral or religious beliefs are around this, or whether you even have any, there are some really practical reasons to wait to have sex. And besides things like, you know, potentially just letting it happen and being exposed to sexually transmitted diseases, et cetera, it can actually short-circuit the emotional development and bonding of a man to you if you have sex too soon. Somehow it just kind of shuts a lot of men down, which is why there's this very common occurrence that you hear where you hear about a man sleeping with a woman and disappearing. So as far as what societal norms are or what the current norms are, I think you could get all kinds of answers to that question. But I believe that you should wait until you feel ready. And I actually believe if you want a lasting relationship, you need to have had a discussion about where your relationship stands and that it needs to be exclusive to be self-honoring to you. That's my personal feeling about that. So I don't know that I'd say that's the norm, but that's what I recommend. Okay.
All right. I like it. okay. city, I hope I say that correctly, from Singapore, all the way from Singapore, wants to know if porn should be tolerated by wives or girlfriends.
Well, you know, the pornography question is a really, really big question. And I think there are very few men out there who aren't exposed to some kind of porn. I think it's very dangerous, and I think it can be very detrimental to a relationship, to tell you the truth, because I've worked with a couple of women who had pornography as a big addiction in the lives of the men that they were involved with or married to. And I even had one woman say to me, she said, it was so intense for him that she said, I believe that it created an atmosphere where love could no longer exist. And I am not a proponent of porn. I don't think it's healthy. I just don't, and I think it can be incredibly addictive, particularly to some people. And so I actually think it's important to have a deep understanding about where your guy is with that. And if he's into that, it's important for you to have a clear understanding of how often, how frequently he is using porn and whether or not he's addicted to it. I have to tell you, it would be a huge, huge red flag and deterrent for me if I felt a man was involved in pornography, just because I think it can be incredibly detrimental. That having been said, I also know, I'm not naive about the fact that it's incredibly, incredibly common. I hope that helps a little bit.
Good, good answer. Okay, next we have Linda from Cleveland. Shout out to Ohio. She says, what's the best way to get out there if you're somewhat shy, if you're not that experienced in dating, and you have a tendency to get into ambiguous relationships with guys where you end up only being friends even though you would like more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so getting into those dead-end ambiguous relationships, it sounds like, is a bit of a dead-end dating pattern. And I think there's several things we could talk about in the context of this question, but the beginning of the question, Leanne, was how do I get out there? What's the beginning of the question again?
Yeah, what's the best way to get oneself out there? She's somewhat shy, mm-hmm. not that experienced in dating.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here's the thing. The longer I do this work, and I've worked with women all over the world, many of whom are shy and many of whom are introverts. The more I do this work, the more I believe that that if you can get yourself in a position where you can see and be seen by enough high-quality men, your chances of meeting someone great go up exponentially. So if you're shy and it's difficult for you, I think that it's really important that you have some support, first of all. So whether that be a coach or someone that can really support and help you, encourage you, and guide you through some of the common pitfalls, that's one thing, having some support. I also think that it's really important that you date in a way that is honoring of who you are, of the fact that you are an introvert or that you're a little shy, as you called it, and that you have a hard time doing that. And so what does that mean? That comes back to what I talked about when I talked about my G system. I believe that you can create opportunities for yourself with grace, ease, and elegance. It's kind of the difference between doing gentle yoga. It's still going to stretch you, but it's not boot camp. So what do I mean by that? I mean, I believe there are ways that you can go online and you can use the online systems in a way that are tools for you, for who you are, and are honoring you for who you are. And what I mean by that is you can use those systems in a way where you're creating a profile and you're reaching out. I have a way that you can search profiles and reach out to men in a way that you're not necessarily asking them out or making the first move, but you're just inviting and opening that possibility for a conversation. And I also believe that it is important for you to have some support for an offline plan where you're doing things and attending things at least occasionally that would be fun and enjoyable for you, but where you also might have the opportunity to meet new people. So you do have to stretch a little bit, but you can still do it in a way that's self-honoring, and that's a big part of my G plan, where you're approaching love and dating from a place of feminine grace, ease, and elegance. Okay, next, Leanne.
All right, I like it. Next, we have Laura from Loma Linda, and she says, how do I know if I'm being too picky? I just want a good man who makes around the same amount of money as myself, someone with similar educational values, someone who likes to work out and eat well. I'm a health food nut.
Okay, what was her name?
Laura.
Laura. Okay, thanks, Laura, for the question. So first of all, I'll start by saying this. For most of the women that I talk to and that I work with, my deeper concern is not so much that you're being too picky, but that you won't be picky enough. And when I say picky enough, that you won't have high enough standards for the kind of person that you want to be with. I find that the more common trap that women fall into than being too picky is settling for less than what or who they deserve, in my humble opinion. Okay, so that having been said, I think it's important, I do think there are women out there that, although they're the exception, there are a few that maybe are a little too picky. I can remember once seeing this show on Oprah, and this woman was on there, and she was she had this incredibly long and detailed list about what she wanted in a man. And I think Steve Harvey was on with Oprah on this particular episode, and after she read the list, they were just kind of chuckling, and I think, I don't remember if it was Steve or Oprah, but one of them said, well, there was a man like that, but he's no longer available. His name is Jesus, right? So in other words, she had, like, really shot the mark real high to the point that it was unrealistic. I do think it's important for you to be in touch with what your absolute deal breakers are. You know, like whether that's smoking or whatever those deal breakers might be for you. And I think it's important for you to have what your absolute essentials are. Like, in my opinion, someone that treats you exquisitely well should be an absolute essential. And the rest of the things you have to determine whether they're really essential or whether they're nice-to-haves. And the nice-to-haves are some of the things that we can compromise on. The deal-breakers or the absolute essentials, I don't think you should compromise on. Hope that helps.
Love it. All right. Karen. Oh, Karen says she's from Paradise. I want to know where that is. I'm seeing a guy now for over a year, and when I'm with him, he says he wants to see me more often. He says he's not ready for a relationship, but we've agreed to be exclusive. He knows I want a relationship. This is working for me right now, but this is common.
Okay, you got to read me this question one more time. I didn't quite follow it.
Yeah, sorry.
I just didn't quite follow it.
Yeah. She's seeing a guy for over a year now. And when she's with him, he says he wants to see her more often. He says he's not ready for a relationship, but they have agreed to be exclusive. And he knows that she wants a relationship. And she says, working for me right now, but is this common?
Well, first of all, it doesn't totally make sense to me. So what I'm hearing here is some incongruency. So she's seeing him for a year, says he wants to see her more often. I think when it comes to relationships of any kind, we have to pay closer attention to what someone does and also pay attention to what they say. But actions do tend to speak louder than words. So if he's saying he wants to see her more often, but he's not seeing her more often, then I would pay closer attention to the action. And he's saying he's not ready for a relationship, but they've agreed to be exclusive. In my opinion, being exclusive is indicative of being in a relationship. And so it feels like there's incongruency here. The situation does not quite make sense to me. But I would say there is incongruency in what he's saying. And if she wants more, this can be one of those dead-end dating detours where you can get into the fantasy that I talked about. I mean, this man that I was in a relationship with for years, I believed that eventually he would want to have more with me, and he never did. He never did. It never happened. And so you have to decide how much time you really want to invest, and if you really believe that this relationship is going to bring you long-term happiness. All I can say is just in the question, I felt a lot of incongruence, and that concerns me, just to be really honest here.
No, I think it's all good.
All right.
It's good. Okay, so Jacqueline from New York says, first she says she loves the event. It's been very powerful and empowering. Yay.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Her question is, how can you distinguish between that divine feminine intuition and self-sabotaging doubts and behaviors that come up in a relationship?
Ooh, good question. I like that question.
Yeah.
Okay, so how can you determine the difference between the divine feminine intuition and the self-sabotaging doubts? Well, so first of all, the divine feminine intuition is typically something that you'll feel in your body or in your mind as just something that you notice. They're typically, like if you're with a man and he says or does something that you feels a little off to you or just makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, it's really important to pay attention to that, and that is usually some of that divine feminine intuition. Now, the difference is that our self-sabotaging thoughts typically show up as big fears or doubts about ourselves, about our worthiness, about our past, about our lovableness, for lack of a better way to say it. They're typically based in fear, and they're typically based in fear-based thoughts that are not necessarily true. And it can be a little bit tricky to discern some of those kinds of things. But I would say if you really are paying attention to your body and you can really get centered, and again, this could be an area where you might could use some support from a coach or someone that you really trust to talk some of these things over with, then I think you'll be able to discern the difference. I think you kind of might know from some of your past relationship history if you have some self-sabotaging thoughts or patterns or behaviors that have been common with you, and some of the divine feminine intuition might be new thoughts or feelings that are coming up in regards to a particular man that you're dating. I hope that helps a little bit.
All right, awesome. So our next question is from Karen. She's in Santa Barbara, and she says, I was the one who left the relationship because I was in graduate school and couldn't handle everything. And he was certainly the best man I've ever met. I still can't get over him. I was in an accident in 1991 and haven't really dated since. I just couldn't seem to get the motivation to get out after that. How do I get the motivation and get over a man from the past?
Yeah, so it sounds like this is if I'm understanding the question, again, there's a lot there, but if I'm understanding the question, it sounds like this is a relationship from quite a ways back and a relationship that she chose to leave, and she's had a hard time getting over him. Well, I will say this. It's very difficult to get over someone if you haven't really had another relationship and if you haven't been able to get out there to find someone new, because it's our natural inclination, especially if it was a good relationship, to go back in our minds and in our memory and to remember those great relationships or that great relationship with fondness and with kind of rose-colored glasses in our memory. And if that's the last relationship we've really had, it's natural that you'd want to revisit that and even have perhaps some regret about not letting it go forward at the time. So I do agree that the path forward to move past that and to put that in the past and appreciate it for what it was, because it sounds like it was a good relationship, is to get some support if you need to, but to move forward in creating new opportunities for yourself. I do believe that we as women, if you really want to have a relationship, you need to be intentional about creating opportunities for yourself. As I said, the longer I do this work, the more I believe that if you can put yourself in a situation where you can see and be seen by enough high-quality men, you will, your chances of meeting someone go up exponentially. But you can do that in a way that's going to stretch you a little bit, but that still is honoring to who you are as a woman. In other words, when I'm talking about being intentional, I'm not talking about you being out there pursuing men, and I'm not talking about you being out there feeling desperate or anxious about meeting someone, but you do need to create opportunities. So I think a key to moving forward and appreciating that relationship for what it was, but still leaving it in your past, is to create new opportunities for yourself in the present. Okay, now.
All right, I like
question.
It. Okay, we have Erica from Washington, D.C. And she says, she asks, what are some of the signs to identify whether he's the one when in a committed relationship? Say he's a gentleman, he cooks, he treats you well, but he doesn't seem to get you.
Okay, so a but, I noticed that but word, but he doesn't seem to get you. I mean, that seems like a pretty big but to me. excuse the use of language here, but that seems like a pretty big but to me. He doesn't seem to get you. And so you may have your answer already. I will tell you, though, that at the very end of our call, and Leanne, remind me, I have a great resource for you. I'll give you a great resource for where you might be able to get some additional insight on this. My husband and I did a recording called The Right Man Will and The Right Man Won't, and we talk about seven key characteristics that the right man is not likely to have and the right man won't, kind of some of those red flags and warning signs, and we talk about some of the key signs that he might be the right man and the right man will. And I'll tell you about that a little bit later on in our call where you can get that. So that will help. But I just, what stood out for me there was the but. And that seems like a pretty big but.
I hear you. All right. We have a question here from Susan in San Francisco. And she says, I met someone whom I'm becoming close to. He mentioned that he has a quote-unquote pseudo-girlfriend who he is just having sex with. I'm curious about this. He seems interested in me, but I don't know what to think about this comment. Any ideas?
Okay, so I'm sorry. She met someone she's getting close to, but he said what? I didn't quite hear that.
Sure. He says that he has a quote-unquote pseudo-girlfriend who he's just having sex with. And she says he seems interested in her, but she doesn't know what to think about that comment.
Do you understand from the question, since it's not in front of me, that he is actively having sex with this other woman?
Yes, from the question it appears that, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, for me, that's a big but as well. I don't feel like, I mean, it depends on what kind of relationship you want, but if you're a woman who wants a loving, committed relationship and you really want someone to be there for you, seems like that would potentially be a big problem that could get in the way if he's actively still having sex with someone else, even if he considers this person more or less to be like a sex buddy, that's a deterrent, in my opinion, for him to be fully available and there for you. So you have to determine what you really want and if you really think he's the kind of guy that could really provide that kind of relationship for you.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. We have just a couple more questions in here. Let's see. So we have Kate from New York City who says, who asks, how do I stop the limiting belief around that I'm a single mom and men don't want to raise children who aren't their own?
So first of all, it's Kate, right?
Yes.
Kate asked that question. So she's a single mom, and her belief, her limiting belief is that men are not going to want to be with her because she has a child or she has children. Is that right?
Yeah, that they don't want to raise children that aren't their own, so somebody else's children.
Okay. So first of all, I'll say, Kate, I don't even know if I would call that a limiting belief. I would say that that's true in some cases. There are some men that don't necessarily want to be involved with and be in partnership with or marry a woman who has children because he's not in that place in his life where he wants that. For example, if a man is retired and has raised a whole bunch of children or his own children, he may not want to start that process over again. So that doesn't mean, though, that there's not a man out there for you, or there aren't men out there that are not only willing but would be very happy about that opportunity to play that role and to be in a situation where they're parenting or in partnership with you in helping you raise your children. So again, this comes back to you having the clarity about what you want. It also comes down to you making sure that as you're really getting to know a man and getting closer to them or having conversation with them about what you most want in your life, that you do have conversation around this particular aspect of your life, because your children are obviously going to be your first and highest priority. And so you are only, as a woman of high value, you are only going to choose to be in partnership with a man who also is ready and willing to take that responsibility and who wants that kind of partnership with you. And there are those kind of men out there, but it's important, especially when you have children, because it affects them and their lives, to be really smart and really wise about who you get involved with and to have some of these conversations earlier on in the relationship before you get deeply involved and before you find out that he might not be ready for that. I hope that helps. So, Leanne, it's about 20 after, and I'm thinking maybe we'll do mm-hmm. the gift card drawing in about 5 minutes. So, any
okay.
of you that still want to upgrade on the platinum package, this is kind of your last chance because I'm going to be handing off this number of people to my husband in about 5 minutes, and we'll go ahead and announce the gift card drawing in about 5 minutes. But in the meantime, shall we take another question?
Yes, absolutely. So we have one from Rosie in Dallas. And she
okay.
says, she says, I've been infatuated with a man who seems, quote, unquote, perfect for me, but is, quote, unquote, unavailable. Sometimes I see signs that he's interested, but he doesn't follow through. This man is my employer, and I see him once a week. How can I get past this infatuation and move on?
Okay. Can you read me that question one more time? Because I was handing
sure.
off some of the new orders to my husband. I have to confess I was double tasking. So forgive me,
oh,
ladies,
no.
and forgive me, Leah. Okay. So I only half heard
okay.
that question. So now I'm tuning in.
Okay. All right. Get ready. Okay. This is Rosie, and she says, I've been infatuated with a man who seems, quote, unquote, perfect for me, but is quote-unquote unavailable. Sometimes I see signs that he's interested, but he doesn't follow through. This man is my employer, and I see him once a week. How can I get past this infatuation and move on?
Okay, so again, we heard the but word, right?
But
yeah. He doesn't follow through. We're getting a little bit of a theme here, right? But he doesn't follow through. And again, I think the bottom line question here, if I'm hearing it right, is how can I move through this infatuation, right, and move forward, right?
Yes. Yes.
So I think that comes back to some of the other questions, some of the other answers that I've given earlier. It's so hard for us not to be focused on a current relationship or a past relationship, particularly if it's good or particularly if we thought it had potential, if we're not creating new opportunities for ourselves, because we're kind of stuck there, we're fixated there, and it can be all we can see. And it can almost feel like he's the only man on the planet. It can almost feel like he's the only option we have. And it's amazing how single-focused we can become as women, and we can stop seeing that there is a world of possibilities out there. I mean, there are so many potential people out there that you could have amazing partnerships with, whether or not you can see them now or not. I have to tell you, there is always possibility beyond what your eyes can see in any given moment. And no matter where you are in your relationship, I want you to remember that. And so what happens is, for us as women, and I'm the same way, because as I already shared with you, I got stuck in this very, very long-term relationship with a man that was never able to be fully there for me in partnership in the way I wanted him to be, even though he was a very nice man. I got stuck there, and it was like I had on blinders for a number of years. He was like the only man I could see, and I put everything into that relationship, my whole heart, soul, energy, love, attention, focus, everything, which is why I was so incredibly devastated when that relationship ended. But it was like there were blinders on. I didn't think I could ever love anyone or care about anyone or be attracted to anyone in the way that I was to him. Little did I know, there was this amazing man named Benjamin that I'm now married to for the last 10 years that turns out to be a much, much better partner for me in every way. But I couldn't see that at that time. And so when we are overly focused on the opportunity at hand or someone in our past, it's very difficult for us to emotionally and psychologically let go of that. And really the only way out, in my opinion, is through, meaning that you have to be creating new opportunities for yourself, by being intentional about your love life. And that's a big part of what I teach with my system, with my private clients, and that I'll be teaching in the Meet Him and Keep Him program. And so if you need a bit of support in that, whether you get support from me or whether you get support from any of our wonderful experts that resonated with you during the summit, wherever you get your support, if you're feeling a little bit stuck, I encourage you to do what you need to do to create these opportunities for yourself, because our relationships, particularly our intimate relationships, our partnership relationships, can be one of the greatest sources of joy that life has to offer. It's part of what makes life sweeter. My husband sometimes and I have talked about how being in the right relationship doubles your joys and divides your sorrows. And I can tell you that having had my husband to love me and support me over the last 10 years has been one of the greatest gifts of my life. And I'm a very strong, independent woman, as I know many of you are. But I'll tell you one thing, it's awfully nice to have someone to come home to at the end of the day, to have someone to talk to share your triumphs, to share your challenges with, to share your victories, to share those times when you feel like you fall flat on your face. I don't know what I would have done with him while I was going through breast cancer if I hadn't have had him. He was my rock, and he was also one of the big reasons that I fought so hard to want to live. And so I want this for you, and that's why I'm creating the work that I'm creating in the world. But you also have to choose to empower yourself and choose to create what you want in your life, to boldly claim what you want in your life, to know deeply what your deepest wants and needs are, and to have that clarity and that confidence and that commitment to go for it. And this is not about controlling anyone else in the world, but it is about being the master of your own life. And I really am hoping that this entire series, this Ready for the Right Guy series, and what we've talked about tonight will help empower you in that way. Whew, I got a little worked up on that one.
You guys, like, I love it, but I'm supposed to just give you questions and not commentary, but I really, really love the double your joy and divide your pain. I think I caught that right.
Double your joys and divide your sorrows. Yeah.
Your sorrows. All right. I love it. That's beautiful. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have, Lady Holly here. I think this might be our last question, which could be perfect for your timing.
Good.
Holly from Vancouver, yeah. She says, what are a few good places to meet high-quality men in the age range of 35 to 45, and what's the best way to attract quality men online? Woman after my own heart.
Well, wow, that's a really big, broad question. So in my programs, I have a whole strategic way that I work with my clients and students in my programs to help you to create an offline plan. But just to give you a real quick suggestion, I think that one of the things that you can do, first of all, we all get in routines and we all get in patterns of what we kind of do every day, every week, et cetera. And sometimes we kind of get stuck a little bit in a rut. And if you are wanting to meet someone, it is important for you to consider what might be a man-rich environment that you might be able to find in your area, in your town, in your city, and create some opportunities for you to be in those man-rich environments. So as an example, when I was a single woman, I worked for a period of time in some business positions where I did a lot of networking and that sort of thing. And I would oftentimes go to after-hours business events, or I would oftentimes go to information technology events or financial events or events where I knew there were likely to be employed, successful, interesting men. I went to a lot of things that I knew would attract the interest of a lot of men. You can also do a search online in your area and town for Chamber of Commerce events or business events or expos or for financial events or expos. Dr. Diana, on her interview, even recommended that you buy stock, and you might go to the Berkshire Hathaway Investors Conference, where you might meet a lot of successful, very successful men. If you buy even one share, you can go to their annual event. So it's a fun way to get creative. The online question is a bigger question. I think there's some key ways that you want to write your profile that help invite, inspire, and ignite interest from the right guy. I have a very particular way that I recommend women write their profiles, and I actually believe that you should be the chooser when it comes to being online. And in the Platinum Package, there's an interview that talks about online dating. And one of the tips that he gives is that you, and I really believe in this, I work a lot the same way with my clients, you actually do the active searches and find men that you think that you might have some interest in at least having a conversation with, and you be the chooser, and you initiate the first message. Now, this doesn't mean you write, I like your profile, do you like mine? But you look for something that you admire, appreciate, or that makes you smile or laugh in their profile. You make a little comment about it or compliment on it, or you ask them a brief question. I give samples of this in my program. And then you are more or less doing the online version of smiling and making eye contact from across the room. You're actually just inviting conversation. You're just opening the door to conversation with that man. But you're at least starting with a baseline of it's someone that you think would be interesting to have a conversation with, and you're not spending so much time sifting through the duds or the deadbeats that might be reaching out to you, or even worse yet, the scammers, right? So those are just a few really quick tips that I can give in the short amount of time that we have. I hope that helps.
Well, that was great. I like it.
That's a big question
okay.
there.
I know it's a big one to end on, right? So maybe we can pull the numbers, right? Or have
yeah,
your
he's
man.
Doing it right now.
Benjamin.
He's doing the gift card.
Love
okay,
it. And then while
so
you're
go ahead.
Well, I wanted to remind you, you said you had a resource. That question that the woman asked about knowing when you have the one, and you said it was the right man will and the right man won't.
Yeah.
No, you said
okay,
to remind
we'll
you
that
you had a resource. Okay.
Thank you for reminding me, because I had already forgotten. Okay, so first of all, our winner is Kathleen Kronz. K-R-O-N-Z is the last name. Kathleen, congratulations. I will be contacting you. I have your contact information, and you are our winner of our $250 gift card, so you have made money on your investment. Congratulations.
Nice.
We're excited for you. And now I want to invite the rest of you, if you're still thinking about it, you can still get the Ready for the Right Guy Gold or Platinum packages. They'll still be available at the event prices for a few more hours, but we have given away the $250 gift card now. So as far as this resource goes, if you go to buybuybadboys.com and enter your name and email address, you will get access to the recordings that I was telling you about that my husband Benjamin and I did called The Right Guy Will and The Right Guy Won't. We did these a few years ago, right when I was staggering out of the breast cancer journey, so I will warn you, I'm a little bit raw in my emotions, but the content has been very valuable to many women. So I hope you enjoy those. That's an extra bonus for being here on the event. So buybuybadboys.com. Okay, so I think that wraps us up for tonight, and I am just sending each of you like a big loving virtual hug. I'm honored by your presence tonight and throughout the event, and I'm so grateful for all of your comments, all of you that have written to me. It's very inspiring to me that this global community of women have been a part of something that I'm honored to have created, and I'm taking a stand for you to have what you most deeply desire in your life. And I hope you're getting ready, because I know your right guy is ready for you. So get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.